The Bill Shakespeare Project presents This Week in Shakespeare for the week ending Monday, August the 8th, 2016. Hola, Bartophiles, and welcome to the 115th episode of This Week in Shakespeare, a podcast brought to you by the Bill Shakespeare Project. This is our weekly opportunity to let you know about the latest and greatest in Willie Shakespeare headlines coming at you every Tuesday. The goal here is to hit you with a quick blast, no more than 10 minutes tops, of Bard-related news. Plus, we'll try to serve up some historical dates for what were the past 7 days of the year. So, this week's news stories included: The Guardian ran a piece on the World Shakespeare Congress, a conference for scholars and enthusiasts that just began in Stratford before continuing in London. Yeah, I wish I was there. The Rapid City Journal ran a piece on Motorcycle Macbeth, a blending of Shakespeare with Sturgis, which ran last weekend in Newcastle, Wyoming. American Theatre ran a piece on Shakespeare's place in history, both theatrical and political. The Oxford University Press ran a great piece on musical literacy in Shakespeare's England. The New York Times ran a great piece on the current exhibition at the Folger Library in Washington, D.C. through early November, titled Will and Jane, Shakespeare, Austen, and the Cult of Celebrity, that discusses the enduring popularity of those two writers. Great stuff. The Oxford University Press blog did it again with a cool infographic about Shakespeare and the natural world. Broadway.com announced the production of Othello the Remix by the Q Brothers to open off-Broadway this fall. The Idaho Statesman previewed the upcoming modern dress production of Idaho Shakespeare's Twelfth Night running through the end of the month in Boise, Idaho. The Times of San Diego ran a fascinating think piece exploring the current political situation in the Republican Party through the Malcolm McDuff scene in Macbeth. It's a very interesting take. The Houston Chronicle reviewed Henry V by Houston Shakespeare Festival, which closed its run in Houston, Texas last weekend, calling the production timeless. The Houston Press also reviewed the production, calling it muscular, affecting, and ultimately stirring. The LA Post-Examiner reviewed Much Ado About Nothing at TU Studios in North Hollywood, California, running through mid-September, saying that the production that incorporates modern rock music makes Shakespeare infinitely more enjoyable and relatable. The News Observer reviewed a 90-minute distillation of the Henry VI plays by Bear Theatre, which closed last weekend in Raleigh, North Carolina, saying that this compact adaptation by director Lucinda Danner-Ganny makes it necessary to be familiar with the source material. Indie Week also reviewed it, calling the production, which skimps on the first two parts to focus on the third, brisk. Philly.com reviewed Love's Labor's Lost by Pennsylvania Shakespeare Festival, which ran through last weekend in Cinder Valley, Pennsylvania, calling the production electrifying. Morning Call reviewed it as well, calling it raucous and inventive. 7 Days reviewed Julius Caesar by Vermont Shakespeare Festival, which closed last weekend in Vermont, calling the production a bold staging. The Burlington Free Press also reviewed it, calling it compelling. The Guardian reviewed The Two Gentlemen of Verona in Chester, running through August 21st at the Grosvenor Park Theater, giving it 3 of 5 stars, but calling it spirited. The Santa Cruz Sentinel reviewed Hamlet by Santa Cruz Shakespeare, running in Santa Cruz, California through the end of the month, calling this production with a female lead a triumph. And finally, the Boston Globe reviewed the one-man show Cry Havoc by Stephen Wolfert, running until next weekend at Shakespeare & Company in Lenox, Massachusetts, calling the exploration of personal experience and Shakespeare's depictions of war dynamic. Now let's take a look back on the last 7 days and how they relate to Shakespearean history, both his and the history in his plays. On August the 2nd, 1100, William II of England, son of William the Conqueror, was killed by an arrow on a hunting trip by a nobleman by the name of Walter Tyrrell. The name sounds familiar. James Tyrrell was the man in Richard III who organized the murder of the princes in the Tower, but there's no relation between the two men. On August 3rd, 1460, James II of Scotland died during the siege of Roxburgh Castle. This James was the great-great-great-grandfather of James VI of Scotland, who was also James I of England. On August 4th, 1600, As You Like It was entered into the register of the Stationers' Company with a to-be-stayed order, keeping the play from being published until the publisher could be proved to be the copyright owner. On August 5th, 1984, Richard Burton died of a brain hemorrhage. Burton was a great British stage actor with many Shakespearean credits of note, including a Hamlet in the early 1960s that earned him the title of the successor to Olivier. On August 6, 1623, the wife of William Shakespeare, Anne Hathaway, died. Not much is known about her, save that when they were married, she was pregnant and 8 or 9 years older than Shakespeare, whom she outlived by another 7 years. On August 7, 1606, Macbeth was first performed in the Great Hall at Hampton Court. There is much debate on this, and the strongest alternate date is 5 years later in 1611. On August 8, 1937, American actor Dustin Hoffman was born. Not known for playing Shakespeare, he did headline a 1989 production of The Merchant of Venice playing Shylock to pretty much brutal reviews. And that was your week in Shakespeare. You've been listening to the Bill Shakespeare Project presentation of This Week in Shakespeare for the week ending August the 8th, 2016. For our blog and previous TWIS episodes, including links to the news stories we've covered, as well as the real Bill Shakespeare Project podcast, check us out at thebillshakespeareproject.com. And we'll catch you next week.